Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
I'm all set.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you today, and as always, if you want to call in and ask some questions, you can call in right now at 323-870-3857. And we'll be here till about 7 o'clock now. What, Habib, 7:15, 7:20, somewhere in there? A lot of
maybe
news this week?
Maybe 7:30.
Maybe 7:30. All right, but today, we got a stacked card here, man. I'm telling you, we got a stacked card here, babe. Ryan Garcia and Oscar De La Hoya going back and forth again. The lover's quarrel continues. We'll give you all the details. And check this out. This is news I heard last night. Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua are appearing in the next UFC fight game. UFC 4, I guess it's called, or something like that. I don't know. We'll have all the details for you. But first, we're going to get started with the fights on ESPN, which I got to be honest, man. I don't know about you, B, but these leave a lot to be desired anymore. This is like watching the old ESPN Friday night fights.
Yeah.
They're terrible. They're just terrible. They're not good.
Yeah.
They're not competitive. They're not good. I don't know.
Been a few decent ones. But
Carlos Takam is 39 years old, B. 39.
Yeah.
And he's the showcase there. He is the showcase.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I get, Big Baby Miller, I guess, you know, he was supposed to be in there, but then, you know, he got popped again for PEDs. Go figure that one out. But I tell you, it's disheartening. Carlos Takam versus Jerry Forrest on ESPN. Takam defeated Forrest by unanimous decision, 96-94, 98-92, and 97-93. I had this fight about 97-93. You know, the fight was okay, but I got to think, man, if Jerry Forrest would have picked it up a little, he may have been able to win that decision. Honestly, because Takam looked his age in there. You know, he really did. He looked 39 in there. And I got to question how much he has left at this stage. But, you know, for Forrest, I was more disappointed in his performance. Why he wasn't going to the body, why he wasn't trying to move and pressure. Take some of the energy out of Takam, but I just think at the end of the day, he just wasn't good enough.
You know what I think?
Takam's really good. Go ahead.
Because Takam fought uncharacteristically in this fight.
Yes.
From the outside. He's usually a guy that goes inside, grinds it out, throws a lot of punches on the inside. He's more of a volume guy, but he didn't really display that type of style. He was a lot more methodical. He laid back a lot. And I think it may be threw Jerry Forrest off because maybe he was expecting Takam to come to him.
Yeah.
And when it didn't happen, it took him a long time to make the adjustments. And when he made the adjustments later in the fight, and then he started going to Takam, and then he did start going to the body, and then he became the aggressor because he knew Takam really wasn't going to be the aggressor like he normally is. It just was weird how it took him quite a bit of time,
at least half the fight to figure that out.
Yeah,
why his corner wasn't on that? Why,
it took him a while to figure that out. You know,
I can understand why he didn't figure it out because, he's in there fighting. I get that, but that's why you got a corner. Jesus, you guys couldn't figure that out. And you guys couldn't figure out, you got a 39 year old guy in front of you.
Yeah. You got to push,
start wearing him out, man.
You got to push the pace on a guy like Takam.
I don't get that, man. I really don't get that. Yeah, that was not good. That was not, and you could blame it on short notice or whatever you want. But you at least were in shape. You should have been at least in shape to fight that kind of fight. So really, you got no excuses. No, wasn't good, man. But I think that to me, Forrest just has a lot of limitations in his game. I think that's what it boils down to. You know, he's 32. He's a decent enough boxer, but compared to Takam, he didn't have it. He didn't know there. He has limitations in his game. There's things he's not able to do. He's not able to force that pace. He's not able to get, you know.
Yeah.
Takam's a good boxer, but he's 39.
Hmm.
Should have been able to go in there and do something with him, and he did nothing with him.
Well, when you're on the short end of the skill department against your opponent,
that
means you got to work that much harder to make up for that skill gap with, you know, more pressure, more aggression. You got to make it a tough fight. You got to actually really try to push the pace, smother the guy, take the guy's skill set and nullify the guy's skill set and take it away from him.
Yeah.
You know, and he was throwing a nice looping left hand, you know, he was having some success with. He was going to the body. He was doubling up punches to the body on either side later in the fight. But I just think, you know, he was stubborn early on. He just didn't really figure to calm out, or he just thought Takam was going to come at him eventually, and he waited too long for that to happen, because it just never happened throughout the course of the fight. Because he was very comfortable picking and choosing his shots from the outside. And it was surprising to me that the older guy looked like he was sharper, had faster hands. He was more accurate with the punches. And, you know, you would think the younger guy would be able to pick up on the older guy's rhythm and his speed and stuff, but Khan was beating him to the punch early on too, so that was very surprising.
Well, you know, it was a slower paced fight. You know,
yeah.
I mean, and that completely favors Takam, and that's why, you know, for the life of me, I didn't understand why he didn't increase that pace, why he didn't go to the body, why. But again, he just doesn't have the skills to do it.
He allowed Takam to get off first.
Yeah,
and you can't do that. You can't let the older guy dictate the pace of the fight. You have to dictate the pace of the fight.
Right. You know, and Takam's a target. Listen, man, I mean, this is nothing to take away from Takam. Takam's a really good fighter.
He's a really solid
guy.
Even in his losses, he performed well.
Yeah, he's a very good fighter, no question about it. He's one of the, you know, he's like, if you've got a guy coming up, that's the guy you want him to fight when he gets ready. Because he's like a good gatekeeper type of guy. He's solid, man.
I thought he was winning the Chisora fight. I thought he was in the Povetkin fight. You could argue that he was winning that fight as well. I thought he wasn't really winning rounds against Joshua, but he was making Joshua work very hard in those rounds to win them. It wasn't like Joshua was having his way the whole round. He had to work to get those rounds.
It was not an easy fight. Yeah, he's never an easy out, put it that way.
Yeah, he makes you work.
But, you know, we watch this and you're like, man, I mean, this guy really, you know, Jerry, he's going to go back. Forrest is going to go back and watch this fight and just be heartbroken.
Yeah.
Watching it. Because you could have won this fight.
This would have been a good victory for him.
It would have been huge. It would have been huge, you know, and I would have put him right back in the picture. He beats a guy like Takam, he's right in the picture.
Yeah.
You never know what could happen because he doesn't have a big name, but he just beat a big name.
Takam's ranked in a couple of the sanctioning bodies right now.
He's a good fighter, man.
He's in position.
Solid fighter.
He's in position for a title shot or an eliminator or something. Something.
And then Forrest could have had that. He didn't. And you know, I would, like I said, man, I'm watching this fight and I'm like, you know, and I like Takam, I really do. But it was just like, come on, man, pick it up. Like you could win this fight. You could win this fight. But the judges, or the, was it, I had it 97-93. I had it like 7 rounds of 3 somewhere in there. I mean, I didn't think it was that close, you know. I really didn't. I mean,
I only think one judge had it, it's like 6-4.
Yeah.
Only one judge had it close.
The guys on ESPN, they had it a little bit closer, I think. But
Andre Ward had it 6-4 as well.
Yeah, maybe so. So that's not really that bad. It's 1 round, so.
1 round, yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad. I tell you what, man, I cannot listen to Tim Bradley. He sucks. I mean, he just sucks.
I like when Andre Ward
Andre
Ward keeps throwing digs at him.
And he called him fat.
He called him fat.
Oh, my God.
That was hilarious.
It was. I mean, he's terrible to listen to, though. I wish that, like, I wish it was just Ward and Tessitore or something like that. Bradley adds nothing. I mean, he really brings nothing to it, you know.
You could really see that Tessitore and Ward really have a good rapport together. They work very well together. They're a solid unit.
Ward works well with everybody.
Yeah, Ward's
Put him in there with anybody, and he works
Ward's
well.
Ward's just a very likable person. I've always liked Ward.
Yeah. A lot of people hate Ward. I don't understand that.
I'm a huge Andre Ward fan as a fighter, as a comic, as anything. I just think he comes off to me as a great person. Obviously, I don't know him personally, but
right.
He just seems like a really great person.
He really does, you know. And a lot of people, like, I know a lot of the, like, press hates him because he doesn't do interviews or whatever, but he always seems like a genuine, nice person.
Well, the thing about Andre Ward is, you know how the press will always try to give you those gotcha questions. Like so-and-so said this about you. What do you think? And
right.
Like Andre Ward doesn't want to play these games.
No.
You know, he wasn't about all that. He didn't want to make himself be like a sideshow. He didn't want to be known for clowning around and just being a big mouth. He just didn't want to be that guy. He didn't want to be that loudmouth. He just didn't want to be that person.
Whether
you know?
It made him money or not, whether it made him money or not, because he could have made a lot of money playing the bad guy or playing, you know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
He just didn't want to act the fool. He didn't want to act the fool for the
That's
press.
It.
He didn't want to buy into these, you know, social media beef type things. Even when Mayweather said, I think Kovalev beat Ward, whatever. Ward didn't go back at him. He said that he has a right to his own opinion. He didn't snap at him.
Right.
You know, he's a classy guy.
I had Ward on my top pound-for-pound guy, number one on my list for years.
You did?
That was even with Floyd Mayweather when everybody had him at the top. I had Ward at the top.
Yeah.
Because Ward was younger. He was better. He was just all around to me, fighting better competition.
Him and Tyson Fury. Like, Tyson Fury is my favorite fighter, but Ward was my second. I love Ward.
Yeah.
Ward's
awesome, man.
You know?
He really is. I'd rather have him. Like I said, they need to drop Tim Bradley, and they need to get rid of Kriegel. I mean,
they should bring Roy. They should bring Roy Jones. Like
100%, they should bring Roy.
Roy Jones is
awesome.
I like Roy Jones.
Yeah, Roy Jones is awesome, man.
I was watching a video with Roy Jones. He was getting he was working with like a therapist, get like some type of body massage,
touching his toes and everything like that.
Yeah.
I didn't see it, but I heard. I saw the video. I didn't watch it, but what was that?
Well, he was just kind of getting almost I think the guy was like a chiropractor or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But he was just telling, like, saying all the injuries that he had. He tore a bicep in each of his arms. He had his knee scoped. Had his wrist broken. He had like a ton of injuries. I didn't even realize how many injuries he's had throughout the course of his career.
A ton, man.
You know. Boxing's beats up your body, man.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, you think about all the training you have to do and everything like that. I mean,
it's real easy in boxing to damage your bicep tendon because you're constantly turning your shoulder, like snapping. Like you're just grinding out grinding your tendon down. Like it's like the rope is just fraying ever so slightly every time you throw that punch. It's like, think, like, it just boom, snaps, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
How many boxers you hear of tearing their bicep tendon? Like, Andre Berto tore it a couple times, you know, Ward. I think Ward had some bicep issues, shoulder issues.
Hand issues? You hear people with hand issues all the time.
Miguel Cotto had a shoulder issue as well.
Pacquiao had a shoulder issue?
Yeah, so that's that bicep tendon area, man. It's definitely a vulnerable area for a boxer. No doubt about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. A lot of injuries. On Tuesday, I believe this is Tuesday, on ESPN, Jose Zepeda versus Kendo Castaneda. That was the main event, by the way, guys. That was the main event. Jose Zepeda wins by unanimous decision over Kendo Castaneda by the scores of 97-93, 98-92 twice, and that's pretty much all I have to say about that one. B, if you want to add anything to it, you can. But
yeah, Jesus. I mean, these are just
hot garbage is what it is.
You know, you got to try to put one competitive fight on the card. You can't have every fight on the card, you know, just be a squash match.
I mean, you know, I mean, at least, you know, we have Jermell Herring coming up this week, and that's going to be another squash match. Give me something. I mean, give me something here. I mean, this is terrible. I mean, you know, like I said, these are old ESPN, the stuff that we used to watch on Friday nights, that's what we're back to.
Yeah.
You know?
Read Georgie's comment in the chat. He hasn't been paying attention. How many weeks and months have I been saying I think Teofimo Lopez is going to beat Lomachenko? How many times?
Oh,
have
you
I
said
that
from
that?
Jump. Yeah, you said that from the very start.
As he goes, Beavs, I got Tio. now you got Tio. After I've been saying for months, I got Tio. Bet Eric.
I'll take Loma. Yeah, I'll take Loma.
Eric likes Loma.
Yeah. I like Loma in that fight.
Even though I got the title, you could fight. You can battle it out with Eric for a pie bet for the number one contender spot. You got to find an eliminator. You can't just get me. How many losses do you think you're going to be able to sustain?
Yeah,
and
right?
Automatically get a title shot.
Yeah. What about that?
I'm not making a voluntary defense against you. I want to fight ranked contenders from now on out.
And I got news for you, Georgie. You ain't a ranked contender, son.
You haven't been ranked since friggin' Obama was president. Eric holding my belt over there. I let Eric hold the belt for me.
That's it. That is. When we're at Beeb Industry Tower, we show off his belts.
That's it.
That's what we do here. The ducking is insane.
I've been saying that I like Teofimo in this fight for months.
Yeah. You've been saying it since it started. And I've been going back and forth, but I do like Loma in this fight. If they do fight, I like Lomachenko. So, yeah. It's a tight fight, though. It's a really good fight. Kidnapping the strap. So, all right. So, let me ask you this, Beeb. Let's marinate on this for a minute here.
Sure.
Jose Zepeda versus Kendo Castaneda was the main event on ESPN.
Yeah.
The main event last night for UFC 251, Kamaru Usman and Jorge Masvidal. That's a monster fight.
Good fight.
Why don't you tell me what's going on at Top Rank and what's going on at the UFC? And you guys tell me that the boxing has it over UFC when it comes to promotion. Are you crazy? Are you crazy?
Let me ask you this. Should they have done Top Rank? Should Top Rank have just waited it out until they could produce better fights? Sort of like what PBC is doing, sort of like what Eddie Hearn's doing. Should they have just waited it out and not jumped right back into it so soon with these fights? Because, you know, what it seems like what they're doing is they're just putting these fights on and they're just saying to everybody, well, it's better than nothing.
Yeah, right.
And
that's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing.
And that's the attitude that they're having, like, just be happy that boxing's back, whatever. Yeah. And it's almost like they're saying to us, you know, insulting our intelligence, like, we don't, like, we're giving you these fights on ESPN. Basically, everyone has ESPN. But they're essentially free fights on free TV.
Right.
You should be happy with them, right?
Right.
But I just don't think that's enough. I don't think that's enough. I don't think this is going to – like, people – everyone has ESPN, okay? Everyone has Fox. And what you want is you want people flipping through the channels. You want people watching another sport on ESPN and then hearing that boxing's coming up. And you want them to transition into watching the boxing after watching a previous sport and event.
Right.
From another sport. You want guys who are flipping through channels. Oh, boxing's on. Let me see what's going on here.
Yeah.
This is a great opportunity because you have this ESPN deal to bring some casual fans, to bring some, some eyeballs to the sport. I don't think with these type of fights, that anyone's going to sit there and say, damn, I can't wait to watch boxing tonight.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a problem. You know, when you had that Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder fight, a lot of people were interested in it. Believe it or not, a lot of casual fans were looking forward to that fight. And they watched that fight, and there was a lot of conversation after that fight, especially with, you know, all the media outlets were talking about all of Deontay Wilder's excuses or whatever, and casual fans were actually talking about it too. So it brought up a lot of dialogue and a lot of interest in sport. These type of fights, I understand that you can't put the creme de la creme out there, but you gotta do better than this, I think. I mean, I just don't think this is going to be enough. And I don't think that they could continue to do this for a long time and not see negative effects from it in terms of ratings and viewership. So
yeah, I think the ratings were at 277.
They're dropping.
7,000.
The first week was okay because it was, boxing's back. Let's watch boxing. But then after show by show, the ratings just dissipated.
That's the thing. I mean, you can't continue to think that this product is going to hold. It's not.
Yeah.
You know, with UFC putting on Usman and Masvidal, which are two huge stars over there, you know, I mean.
And you know, everyone, you have people say, oh, well, you can't compare boxing to UFC. But you can.
Yeah.
You can in this instance because they're two combat sports. We're both in the same situation with the pandemic, okay? And one entity is putting on very good fights, and the other entity, which is the boxing entity, is not.
Not at all.
So what is the difference? As you said, what is the difference between these two situations? Now, Dana White has come out and said, you know, I'm not cutting anyone's pay. Bob Arum has said that he is cutting people's pay. So
You tell me who's got the better. You know, and everybody always complains about Dana White. He's underpaying his fighters, blah, blah, blah. But maybe he underpays his fighters. Times like this, now what? Now it's paying off, right?
Well, you know, Dana White doesn't want to – I guess he wants to pay fighters good, but he wants to pay fighters – based on the fights that they're fighting.
Right.
You know, not going to just give guys money just because they are who they are.
Yeah.
He still wants good fights. And because there's no sanctioning bodies involved, you don't have these BS mandatories, these BS eliminators. So you got one guy calling the shots like that, who's a fan of the sport himself, who wants to watch good fights himself and takes a lot of pride in putting on the best shows possible for the fans, then this is what you're going to have.
Yeah.
Now that's the issue. You know, you have sanctioning bodies, you have boxers who are in a situation where they're not always forced to fight the best. In the UFC, if you don't fight the best, you don't fight. It's that simple. You know, it's that simple.
All right,
That's why these fights get made.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones here. 530 Ringside, Robert on the phone here. Robert, go ahead.
Hello, Eric and Joe. Good evening. I hope you guys are doing well. One of the points I just brought up to Eric, Joe, is the reason why Top Rank is doing this is because ESPN is desperate for programming, so Top Rank is filling up time slots, and that's why we're getting the garbage that we're getting. That's no excuse, but that's one of the reasons why.
They're filling up with, like, nonsense fights, though.
I know.
You know what I mean? They're filling up with nonsense fights. I don't care what they fill it up with, but Jesus, I mean, give us something
and
in between the nonsense fights.
And for God's sake, can we actually take Tim Bradley and hide him away somewhere? I can't stand that dude. He was a wonderful fighter,
sucks.
But my God, did you hear the exchange, Eric, on Thursday where Joe Tessitore said to Andre Ward, he said, hey, Andre, would you like Tim Bradley to be your trainer? And Andre Ward basically said, heck no, with that idea, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know? Look, I enjoy watching fights, but I agree with you guys. It's time to step up the competition. And that brings up another point. From now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that they've moved the Lopez Lomachenko fight from the 19th of September to the 3rd of October. And the article I read said it was because of pay-per-view, because they want to do a pay-per-view for that fight. Now, that's a good fight, but is that worth a pay-per-view price?
Robbie, at this point, I would pay for it based upon what I'm getting right now. So,
awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
No, under normal circumstances, it wouldn't be a pay-per-view fight. But when I interviewed Bob Arum, in order to give these guys a payday that they deserve, it has to be pay-per-view because there's going to be no live audience. Now, if they were able to have a live gate, then they wouldn't have to put this fight on pay-per-view to give these guys what they need to get paid.
Now, I know in December the Fury Wilder 3 fight is going to be pay-per-view. That was going to be pay-per-view whether crowds could be there or not. But I was shocked to see Lopez Lomachenko turn in from a TV fight to a pay-per-view fight. I think Lopez is going to win that fight. I think Lomachenko is a good fighter, but I think Lopez is the real deal, and I agree with you on that one, Joe.
Robbie, you know, I've been rubbing off on you over the years. You've been listening to my commentary, and you're finally seeing the light.
Hey, now I don't always agree. Sometimes I agree with Eric, but in this case, I agree with you. I think
I would say most of the times he agrees with me. I think most of the time Robbie's a smart guy. I mean, most of the times he agrees with me.
Eric hasn't been right since Obama was president.
No, that's the line you use for Georgie. So you got to come up with something else for Eric.
Don't start critiquing
the material, Robbie, please.
Hey,
that's a line that could be used over and over again. It's like a 1-2 punch, brother.
Well, that's right. Well, with the way cases are going here in California, it's whacked, although Florida got it real bad today. 15,000 new cases in Florida alone today, guys.
Yeah, that's what I heard, man, 15,000. You guys in California, you guys are tearing it up over there, too. You guys got like 6,000 or 8,000 a day over there.
Yeah, well, and
as
of this morning, it was 319,000 cases in the state of California. I don't see an end to this anytime soon, guys.
No, not unless we shut down. It ain't
going
to shut down.
And
even
of course,
when they shut down, it wasn't like a shutdown. You know what I mean?
No.
You're still going out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a shutdown like Italy shut down.
Yeah.
Robbie, you been going to the gym with the face mask on?
Hey, anywhere I go, I'm going to put a face mask on, B.
That reminds me. You know what? Hang on, Robert. You know, that reminds me, okay? So they mandated masks in public places here in Cincinnati, okay? Cincinnati, if you're in Cincinnati, you got to wear a mask in public places, all right? That's what they want you to do. You're not going to get arrested if you don't. You may be asked to leave. It just depends on what the, you know. But the MMA gyms are open. Marinate on that one for a minute, okay? The MMA gyms are open. I was like, well, how can that even possibly be? They said if you're wearing some of the exceptions of not wearing a mask, if you're playing sports, jiu-jitsu qualifies as a sport, you don't have to wear a mask. Are you crazy? You know how many infections are going to be passed around in those gyms?
Well, Eric,
this is it.
Eric, my question is going to be is like when like football is supposed to start in September, how do you social distance in a football game? It's not possible.
Well, what they're going to do is skip every other seat or something like that. That's what they'll do.
No,
but,
I'm talking about on the football field. If you're one of the players, how do you social distance during a football game?
Well, it's like this. I mean, think about this, all right? The Major League Baseball, all right? They're getting ready to, you know, I guess play their season or whatever. And they've got these guys in like a bubble, man. I mean, you can't go anywhere. And the same with soccer and everything else. All these athletes, all these high-profile athletes, and the boxers and the MMA guys, same way. Dana White's got a whole Fight Island thing going on, quarantining those guys there. They're still getting it. They're still getting it, okay?
I know.
If
I know.
They can get it, what do you think we can? You know what I'm saying? There's no way to stop unless you get a shutdown going. You ain't going to stop it. You're not going to contain it. You're just going to run the game, but everybody's going to turn.
No,
you know, everybody's going
to
take turns.
And let's face it, not to turn this into political, but if you shut down the entire country all over again, and this time completely shut it down, you'll have the depression times two, and it'll be a lot worse.
Oh no, you voting for Trump again?
You know, I really don't know what the hell I'm going to do because I'm not happy with either one of these guys that are running. It's like 4 years ago. I voted for Trump because I didn't like the prospect of Hillary being in office. And this is another case where...
Oh, you sexist.
This is another case where, hell, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
I'm going to vote for one guy because he's not the other guy. That's what I'm going to end up voting for.
I can't... I just can't vote for Biden, man. I'm sorry.
It's tough. It's tough to vote for either one of them, man.
I can't vote for Biden, man.
That's my point. What do you do? You vote for a 73-year-old Donald Trump or you vote for 78-year-old Joe Biden? You know, what do you do?
Joe Biden is
two old white guys. That's what we got.
I feel bad for Joe Biden. He's not right now.
Give him a sympathy vote, man. Give him a sympathy vote.
Let's face it, guys. We may not find out on election night who wins because remember, everybody's going to do mail-in ballots. How long is it going to take them to count all the votes?
Who knows? Not everybody's going to do mail-in. But everybody's making a big deal about that mail-in ballot. They've always done mail-in ballots. It's not like it's a new thing.
No, well, here in California...
You know what I mean? It's not like it's new. They've done it forever.
They want to suppress the vote.
That's what it is.
I don't agree with that, man. Like, everyone... What do you expect? All these elderly people to go to the polls? And like, there's a lot of people that just can't get to the polls. They have to do absentee balloting. They have to.
That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. They're trying to suppress
everything. Here in California, the governor said he's not even going to open the polls. Everybody's going to mail in their stuff.
Yeah. Your governor's pretty whacked over there, though.
That guy's a weirdo.
That guy's a whack job, son.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not,
yeah,
I don't
need to push Schwarzenegger back in there.
you know what? I don't politically agree with him, but I think in this case he's handled the virus as best as he possibly can.
How dare you? I don't know.
You know? Anyway, guys, no, seriously, I agree with you. I told Eric last week, Joe, during the Tuesday or Thursday card, I forget which, I said, I only want to hear from Joe Tessitore, and I only want to hear from Andre Ward. Get rid of Bradley. Get rid of Kriegel. We don't need four or five guys talking during a fight.
No, you don't. You need to get rid of Kriegel, too. He sucks also.
I mean, when Andre Ward speaks, it's like E.F. Hutton. You want to listen to what he has to say.
Yeah, he went deep on that one, but E.F. Hutton, I ain't heard that in years.
A little corny, buddy. A little corny.
Oh, how dare you, Beeb. Stop it. What's the matter with you?
Anyway, I hope the fights get better soon, guys. I really do.
All right, Robert. Well, we hope so, too, man. And
all right.
Thanks for calling in, man. And you got a show to do at 8, man, so get going, man.
All right, I'll see you later, guys. Got
to
support
you
when I can.
Talk to you. All right.
I love you, Robbie. I love you.
What is wrong with you?
I
love
you
too.
He
wants to see other people.
I don't get I love you too back, man. What is that?
He didn't. He was just like, what's going on?
What is that?
Yeah, you said you loved him. I mean, hey, sometimes you get the response back. Sometimes you don't.
Horrible, man.
don't know, man. Oh no. That was rough, man. That was rough. That's like asking somebody to dance and she turns you down. You know what I mean? And then you got to make that long walk of shame.
That doesn't usually happen, though.
I don't know, man. Losing your touch, B. I mean, he said.
That doesn't usually happen.
Like, I love you, and he didn't say it back to you. It's messed up.
Okay.
Okay. There's other fish in the sea.
I'll get over it.
516, you're lying. Did you say you'll get over it?
Yo, BB, you know I love you.
What up? What?
Yo, BB, you know I love you.
Is this Jesse Reekin? Did you guys make up?
Reekin always.
Did you guys make up?
I love you, bud.
Did you guys make up? You and Reekin?
We've always been cool, man.
You've always been cool.
Don't worry about it.
All right.
You don't worry about that.
Yo, Eric, it's not a makeup, bro. What happens is we all know we. Me and him are going to get back with each other again. Pause. But it's just a fight.
Do you guys find each other ice cream now and everything, or what are you guys doing?
I sent him a care package every now and then.
You sent him a care package?
So Rika, have you been watching these ESPN cards? Has it been tough for you to watch these ESPN cards?
Well, I was
going to
say the UFC.
Right,
can I talk about the UFC fight last night or no?
Yeah.
100% talk about the UFC fight because those were, you know, those were something. That's something to really talk about.
Those were good fights last night.
That's something to talk about.
All right. Number one, I should always listen
to
my friend.
It's up to you.
He told me to bet on the under for the Rebus fight. He was like, "That's such an easy fight to call." And then I just only put 100, and I put 300 on Masvidal. And everybody's saying like, "Oh, Masvidal didn't do that great." And bro, he tried. Like, I think he was just outclassed, outmatched.
22 pounds, son. He didn't have his trainer in the corner. There's no way he was winning that fight last night. Who did you really put 300 on Masvidal?
Yeah.
The dude lost money and you laughed in his face.
I
laughed
because look, I mean the guy had
money,
to lose 22 pounds in 6 days. Who's gonna bet on that? Not to mention his trainer got COVID. His trainer wasn't even there.
Jesse Reekin.
Come on,
yeah,
man.
Jesse Reekin went on a binge.
If I
would have
won,
I would have won. He lost 42 pounds in 7 days. He knows what it's like.
And he also knows what it feels like to fight at that level, to
Jesse
fight a guy
Reekin,
like Masvidal who's been training,
Reekin,
you know, for 8 weeks.
Jesse Reekin lost 22 pounds in 7 days before. He knows what it's like.
I did.
I'm sorry, Jesse. Listen, man, I feel bad for you losing $300, man, but – Jesus Christ, man. Come on.
You can't laugh at a guy losing $300.
I'm laughing with him. You know what I'm saying?
This is the COVID, man. This is the COVID right now. People are hurting. You can't laugh at people losing money during
then
COVID.
Then he shouldn't have been on Masvidal.
He had a gut feeling. You can't go against your gut feeling. He had a gut feeling.
I'm sorry, man.
Go ahead, Reekin. Get some knowledge here. Let's go.
Yeah, I lost $300, and
you can't keep laughing at him like that. That's not right.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm not gonna.
Now I hope he doesn't put any money on Lomachenko. I've been trying to walk him off that ledge right now.
I am going to put money on Lomachenko. All right. Let's talk about the Lomachenko.
Oh,
right?
You don't want to listen. You don't want to listen.
But hold on. Let me
go
let
ahead,
me...
man.
Loma.
Right, stay focused now.
Is a world gold champion from the Olympics, and then almost every time when you go into boxing, it's 4 rounds, 6 rounds, 8 rounds, then 10 rounds, then 12. Loma started off the gate as a world championship fight. he only goes to Orlando Salido, and even that's debatable. I never seen a boxer so skilled like Luma. He faced Gary Russell. Gary Russell was 24-0, and he beat him on his third fight. His third fight. I think Lomachenko is the best boxer of all time. I do.
He's only had 11 fights. I'm just saying. I don't know. I mean, I think the jury may still be out on it. I mean, I'm not saying he's not bad. I mean, he's a bad dude, no question.
Did you just hear what I said?
Like 14, 15 fights?
Yeah.
No,
14, 15 fights.
Yeah,
did
something
you hear
like that.
What I said, though? Usually you start off on
four-round
fights.
Right. No, I mean, we all know his resume. I mean, yeah, we get it. We got his resume and everything. But, I mean, tell him saying he's the best ever right now, you know.
I try to tell Regan that Lomachenko fought in the World Series of Boxing. Those were like 10-round fights without Hagiron. Mm-hmm. Like 8-round fights as well.
Yeah.
So.
Bro,
he fought a lot of good guys in there too. Those were stacked cards.
Bro, he beat Rigdell, Gary Russell. Two great fighters, bro. Two great fighters.
Yeah.
I think
that doesn't make him the best of all time, though. I mean, he's a good fighter, and is he best pound for pound right now? All right,
I'm sorry, I don't mean the best of all time, but the best of our generation right now.
I don't know.
Okay.
The jury's still out.
All right. What's going to happen when Lopez knocks him out, though?
I would love for Lopez to knock him out, bro. I just don't think.
Why would you love for Lopez to knock him out if you're going to bet on Lomachenko?
Why would you bet on Lomachenko?
Why would you love that if you're going to bet on Lomachenko?
I didn't say I'm going to bet on Lomachenko. I gotta see what the odds are.
Oh, okay.
I think
I'm gonna have to rewind this because I think
win.
I heard you say you wanted to bet on
it. That's what I thought. I thought you were gonna put a bet on Loma. Yeah, I thought you were gonna put a bet on Loma.
I think Loma's gonna win, but if the odds is 4-1, fuck it, I might put $100 on Lopez.
Yeah.
Put
some money on Lopez, man. Make up that $300.
All right, I'm done, man.
Oh, money, Eric.
You guys just sit there to make fun of me.
That's not true.
Not me.
Fun of you at all.
I'm defending you with every ounce of
every
fiber of being in my body right now.
Nothing.
Every fiber of being in my body right now, I'm defending you.
I'm sorry.
I keep telling the dude to stop laughing, but he can't.
I love you guys.
We love you too, buddy.
We love you too, Jesse, man. See, this is what
I love, man.
I
love you back from Jesse.
No, reciprocal
right.
Love, man. That's what you need, brother.
That's it,
reciprocal
man.
Love. You have reciprocal love in this world. We don't have that much hate. We don't have that much pain. We don't have that much anguish. We can win as one nation.
What do you want, Deaf Poetry Jam all of a sudden? What's this?
Yeah.
He did. He put three. You told him to put money on Masvidal. What's wrong with you?
Oh, I didn't.
He said you told him to put money on it.
No. Never.
Money on Masvidal. The guy again.
I haven't talked to the kid in 3 weeks until today he called me. How can I tell him to put money on Masvidal if this is the first day I talked to him?
I don't know, but man, I wouldn't have put money. I mean, listen, man. Last night, I tell you what, I was pulling for Masvidal. I really was. I like Masvidal a lot. But there was no way he's going to beat Usman. Not on that short of notice. Not losing 22 pounds. He knew he wasn't in camp. He was breathing heavy after the first round.
One thing I was telling Regan about Usman. He don't give a fuck about these fighter bonuses, these knockout. But he just wants to win the fight.
Yeah.
He is one of the most disciplined fighters I've ever seen in terms of just fighting to win and not fighting off emotion. He don't care about the trash talk. He don't care about trying to prove anything to anybody. He just wants to win the fights. That's it. He just comes to win, and that's it.
This is funny. So my neighbor apparently was listening to the show,
and sent her daughter over here with a sign to ask me if they, if we thought that last guy, that last caller, was baked. Yes, I think he was.
You know what? I tell them all the time. You know, I say, Jesse, read the comments. Read them. Jesse, read.
Can he
Jesse,
read?
Can he... Jesse, read. Come on now, come on. Jesse Reekins, Jesse Reekins, whenever I do it, when I used to do videos with him, Jesse Reekins blinked. He's baked.
You
he's
think?
Blinked.
It's
he's
not like
blinked.
We're all sitting around wondering, you know? I'm
and,
being
I,
like,
and,
yeah.
I tell him, I said, dude, when you call in, you know, try to have your bearing about you, you know? You know, get it together, bro, you know?
Oh, my God. Anyway, that UFC card was good last night. They had three title fights on there. It was pretty good. Let's go back to the phones here. 773. 773, you're live.
Oh, man, I was cracking up over there. It was like a Seinfeld skit. Beeb, you're telling them to quit laughing at him, and you're laughing at him. It was like a Seinfeld skit.
I was laughing, but I was crying inside for him.
You were crying inside for him.
I was laughing on the outside, but I was crying on the inside for him because it was sad listening.
He's probably gonna go hang himself now, babe. That's messed up, man.
Eric,
I didn't say nothing, man. I'm just saying.
Wow.
I'm just saying. You know, you're supposed to be his boy. I'm just saying. You told him that on basketball.
Oh, man.
I would have hung myself anyway.
That was a boring one, but, you know, and I'm blaming Masvidal for that. I'm blaming Masvidal for not getting his ass off the cage. He just accepted being put against the cage. He really wasn't fighting to get off it. But I did want to talk about boxing. This is a boxing show. I have a question for you guys. Is it like, did all the, those Eastern European fighters in Oxnard, did they travel back home? Are they still training out there in California?
I don't know. I would imagine that they still are. Honestly, I would still imagine that they still are, but I don't know that for a fact, no.
Because I'm wondering why we haven't been seeing any of them on these top rank cards. Like, that could live up. That could see. I would love to see them on some of these top rank cards because, for the most part, these cards have been garbage, just hot garbage. Bob Arum doesn't even care, it seems like. He doesn't care what product he's putting out there. He's probably just trying to fill the quota of however number of cards he's got to fulfill for his contractual agreements. So at least let me see some of these Eastern European savages. Let me see some of them, some of the Central Asians, the Uzbekistanis, the Kazakhstans. Some of these fighters that go out there, put on a show, always very talented, good prospects. Instead, it's just garbage, man. I've been watching some of these fights, and it's like, I don't know, man. They're just putting out garbage. Feel bad for the boxing hardcores who may not be MMA fans, and they see these UFC events, three title fights, cards stacked top from bottom, even if the main event is a stinker. Got two title fights that were highly competitive, very good. Undercard was good. And then you got these bum fights in top rank. It sucks, but that's Bob Arum. That's what Bob Arum does.
Yeah, it's been terrible. It really has been. I mean, we expected a couple of weeks of this, but the nonsense that he's put on week after week after week, I mean, that Tuesday card, come on, man. I mean, really? It's awful. Just awful.
And some people are saying,
this,
hey,
I mean, it really
it's
needs
better
to pick
nothing.
Up soon. Gate or no gate. You know, gate
yeah.
or no gate. This needs to pick up real soon.
Yeah, and some people are saying it's better than nothing. Just be grateful they're even putting on cards. And I'm like, hey,
I'd rather have nothing at this point, man. You're putting nothing on.
That's what I'm saying. Say,
you know?
Don't even put on carbs. I'm trying to tune in. Maybe I expected a good quality, some good quality fights. Because that's what I expect on ESPN top-ranked shows. I expect them to put out some good quality content, and and they just completely let me down every time. So I'm just saying, don't even put the damn fights on. But I did want to get you guys' thoughts on this before I go. That Max Holloway versus Volkanovski fight, people are screaming robbery. And I went back and watched that fight, and I had it the first two rounds, Max Holloway. People are saying, how did he dropped him twice. How did he not win the fight? Well, yeah, he dropped him in each of the first two rounds, so that's why he won those first two rounds. In the third, fourth, and fifth round, I gave to Volkanovski. Fourth and fifth round, clearly Volkanovski. In that third round, it was a coin flip. So, man, the casuals came out of the woodworks for this card. Regarding Masvidal, regarding Holloway, they were bashing Usman for his performance, this and that, but Usman did what he had to do.
How he
Masvidal
fights.
Is the one.
That's how he fights. It's not like he's a knockout. That's how he fights.
He just comes to win. He ain't looking for these bonuses. He's not trying to impress the boss. He just wants to win.
That's how he fights, man. He's a strong guy. He's a wrestler. That's what he's going to do.
And all these bonuses, you got a
knockout
bonus, all this fight of the night bonus, whatever. He just wants to win.
And the Holloway fight was
close.
There was no robbery there. It was close. Close fight.
Very close fight, yep. So, as far as that, I just thought it was a close fight. I thought that Peter Yan, that dude, he's a star in the making. Masvidal, he disappointed me with his – he really wasn't able to get off the cage. He kind of just accepted that position. He got an underhook. He was just willing to take some body shots, get beat up. And I think it's because of his gas tank. He really was never known to have a good gas tank. He likes to explode, and he's real explosive, quick, fast starter, but tends to fade later in the fight, slow down. And he was accepting that position. And as far as the weight cut goes, 20 pounds weight cut, that's really not unheard of. A lot of these guys cut a lot of weight. I'm sure Usman cut just as much weight. That dude's like 210 pounds cutting down
days.
To 170.
Not in
no,
six
but,
days, man. And not to mention Usman's
been
been
in the
camp
gym,
all this time.
Masvidal
was in
the gym.
He wasn't in shape.
Dustin Poirier said that. He was helped him get ready for his fight. He's been in the gym.
But he's not in, like, he's not in fight shape, though. Difference between being in gym and being in fight shape. I mean, he's not. I mean, he may have been helping somebody get ready, but it doesn't mean that he was in fight shape.
I see people in the gym all the time. They're not in shape, though. Some of these dudes I saw today, man. They're not in shape, bro.
Fat shaming people. What's the matter with you?
They're not in shape, bro.
Oh, that's cold-blooded, Bede. I'm trying to help himself.
It's cold. It ain't right.
I
know what you
right.
mean. He wasn't fully prepared, but I just don't see that fight going any different. I just see that Masvidal was never known for a big gas tank and his cardio. I just think we'll never know because I knew that was going to be the case. I knew this is going to be it. Oh, he's only had 6 days. Oh, he didn't have a good training camp. I knew that was going to be the narrative after the fight if he lost. So I think that's why Masvidal took it. That's why he took it. And he had the chance to prepare for a long camp. He could have took that fight 2 months ago, but fully prepared, took a full camp. Instead, he turned it down, and then instead he took a last-minute just so he would have the excuse, oh, it was a short camp, and I want to have a – then what do you say after the fight in the press conference? Oh, I want to have a full camp to prepare, and I think I can come back and beat this guy. No, man, you had your chance.
I think
you
that's
lost,
fair.
So.
I agree. I mean, it's a fair assessment that if he had a full camp, he'd do better, but Masvidal or, you know
– Usman's a better fighter. Usman's a clearly better fighter.
Yeah, just better all around.
And that's no disrespect to Masvidal. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, no disrespect to Masvidal.
No.
I respect him for taking this fight on 6 days, but he lost. I mean, that's the risk. That's the risk reward.
Yeah.
High risk, high reward. So now I want to see that Gilbert Burns step up, who was supposed to.
I'd like to see the Gilbert Burns
line.
Fight too, but they're talking about him having to fight like an eliminator now. So hopefully Burns gets Burns should get his next shot. I mean, that's what I think. Burns should get that next shot. They're both teammates. They both know each other. I think it's a good fight. Leon Edwards is good, too. I don't know. I'd like to see Burns, though. I really would. get that next shot.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Burns matches up well just with his grappling background. He's not going to get stuck against the cage and kind of, and he's got big, heavy hands, knockout power, so I think he matches up better with him. But
yeah.
You saw Kobe Covington. He made it a fight. He didn't accept being pushed up against the cage and rolled out, wore down, taken down multiple times. He stood in the middle, kept it, and made it a slugfest. So it's possible. Usman is beatable, but you got to have that wrestling
background. Yeah, well, Covington is just as good a wrestler as Usman is, too. So, yeah. All right.
That dude said,
all right, man, we're going to get moving here. We appreciate your call, man.
Quick.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Usman's got a freaking blockhead on him, though, huh? That dude's got a noggin on him.
Look at you, down at Usman. How dare you?
Hey,
All right, man.
Why he's able to take a shot. Take it easy, guys.
This is why you can take a shot.
Big head, big brain, baby.
That's what I say. That's what I got a big head, so that's what I say, too.
I got a big head, too, man. I got like a lunchbox size head.
All right, babe. Live from Rikers Island. I'm coming to us live from Rikers Island here.
Oh, no.
Georgie.
Yay! What's happening, people? So with that little energy.
What up, Georgie? How you doing? How many Red Bulls?
Listen, can be docking me forever, brother. Now you picking teal. All of a sudden, are you picking teal?
I had Loma. I think you haven't turned around here. I always had Loma. Beeb always had teal.
Harry, you got to sit down because
like
you've been dodging me since fucking 2018, dog. I didn't even know what you opened your mouth.
Me?
You got to be dodging me for a minute. I won my title shot.
You
guys cannot do this shit to me.
Four times that I can count.
George,
you're
the motherfucking commissioner.
I beat you like a rented mule on a
Georgie,
daily basis, son.
You're on like a seven-fight losing
whatever.
Streak. And you think you're just going to come in and get a title shot.
But
when
you guys don't tell the people the games you play, I always got to pick up the shitty shit of this fucking state. Every time.
I got
Teal. Now you
got to
pick Loma.
It has nothing
every
to do
single
with
time
it.
I got to pick up the fucking worst.
We don't have any control over that.
Ridiculous.
Call up Mauricio. He's the boss.
Right. See the belt?
Listen,
Mauricio gave us that belt.
We're going to have to figure.
Right.
We're going to have to figure this shit out another day. Let's move on to the important shit. The important shit.
I didn't know there was important stuff.
Okay, George, you hit us with the facts.
Listen, who's the historian here? Who's the historian of the show? Because I'm just a boxing fan.
You. You're the historian.
Damn.
Robert?
Well, let me take the baton, nigga. Silence, everybody in class. Everybody knows that boxing is divided. On the Muhammad Ali era, down and up. There was nobody touching no M's. This man's personality, what he did inside and outside the ring, contribute to this man breaking the barrier of the millions of dollars. There was no millions of dollars before Muhammad Ali. And that broke the shackles, baby. You chained up. That fucked you up right there and there. This man's glory got translated into money, and now we got to pay these millions of dollars to see shitty fights that they will never happen. You got fucking other motherfucking women making you believe for 7 years that he got four of the best welterweights in the planet. You got fucking Bob Arum making you believe that he got two of the biggest pound for pound that ever touched fucking the glove. That he got Crawford and he got Lomachenko. The so-called two more. How the fuck you gonna know? Every time they put these people to test is with less opposition. Shitty ass opposition. When fucking Crawford, if he ever fight fucking out, Porter, fucking Sean, Danny. He ever fight any of them? What's that? What age are these people going to fight? When they're going to fight? After 33? If you're not a heavyweight,
I don't know.
What are your parents?
We've been asking that same question.
What is the problem? What is the problem? It's greed. It's money. Nah, greed is not good. It's never been good.
I like money.
Little kids get fucking murdered because of greed. People get blown the fuck up because of greed. Greed is not good, baby. So no matter how the fuck you look at it.
Michael Bundy said greed was good.
Yeah, he said it right in Wall Street. I was riding
with
him. I was believing.
Watch that movie, Wall Street. Greed is good.
Right. You saw that, right, Pete?
100%. I saw that.
Yeah, I was thinking it was good. I don't.
I live by that credo.
So does it mean we're bad?
Baby, you guys got to stand with humanity. I'm not gonna last you forever, baby. I cannot come here every fucking week the same bullshit. You guys, these mafia writing the same bullshit as history. Same garbage, share fire, top of share fire. UFC showing you how these people, if you don't overpay them, they don't have no fucking time to sit around in two or three fucking millions of dollars until something else fucking pops. It's right there on your face. The model's right there on your face, and you guys want to fight it. And now you guys are going to tell me these people don't overpay? Tell me again that they're not overpaid.
Well, first thing.
No such thing.
Bro.
You think I'm going to do an allocution? No way.
Listen. Until you don't bitch and moan, these people don't charge their tune. Look at how they took fucking Marisa to fucking say that Demon White going to get a title shot.
No.
It takes the whole boxing world. It takes the whole boxing world to go up on a rage. It takes every fucking body to scream out of the fuck. They will never give it to you. Never. As long money is there, they will never gonna give it to you. You're gonna have to fight every single fucking inch. And here you guys sound like, yeah, I seen that fight. Yeah, how could somebody be able to pay? Yeah, motherfucker, it's a bunch of motherfuckers that overpay out there.
Is he making fun of
me? Overpaid. Greedy ass bastards, bro, milking these fucking fights. Listen, I don't respect none of these cats coming up. The only motherfucker who's giving a chance, yo, listen, the only motherfucker who's going to get a little respect will be Teal. And that's when I see the Lomachenko fight. That's the only motherfucker coming up. I don't want to be heard shit about no Tank. I don't want to hear about no Haney. I don't want to hear about none of these cocksuckers, bro. None of these people have fucking fun, not even one fight to be where they are. None of them. And all these fucking hype, bro. When Tank for fucking the Cuban dude, that nigga was too old already. Them boys, too old, metal. They said, yo, that was a fucking cross of fucking ball. It's still metal. The people who fought with Gamboa, I retired already. They gone. And you say, oh, yeah, he got his name on the board. Now they got chef fight, on top of chef fight. Bro, everybody there support the channel, and I'm out.
All right, Georgie from Rikers.
Can't blame PBC for this. These are top rank cards.
I think what Georgie's trying to say in his own mangled way was he's disappointed in the fights as well. So there you go. Well, you're in good company, Georgie, because we're also disappointed in the fights. All right, let's speaking of the fights, Beeb. What do we got coming up here next? Let's see. I think we got on Tuesday coming up. Who do we got? We got, Jamel Herring, and he's fighting the six-loss Frezza Kendo.
not Frezza Kendo, but Jonathan Okendo, which should be a complete walkover fight. But at least we get a name here. So let's see here. July 14th, that's Tuesday. Jamel Herring versus Jonathan Okendo, 12 rounds for Herring's WBO junior lightweight title. Michaela Mayer, she's been calling you lately, Beeb.
Coming back.
Yeah, versus Helen Joseph, 10 rounds, female junior lightweight. She had COVID, didn't she?
She did.
She did? You didn't get COVID?
I didn't get it.
That's odd. That's odd. Don't you find that a little odd?
Tiger's blood, I told you.
You have Adonis DNA, my man. Clay Collard versus LT Nelson, 6 rounds, middleweights. Clay Collard is the one who's upsetting everybody. So there you go. July 16th, which is Thursday on ESPN, Miguel Mariaga versus Mark John Yap, 10 rounds featherweights.
Did Lomachenko beat that guy?
I think a lot of people beat that guy, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Felix Verdejo versus Will Madeira, 10 rounds lightweights. So a little better on Tuesday than it was on – or Thursday than it is on – I don't know. Listen, they all suck. Hopefully these will be good fights. But let me tell you what. Which fight? Let me ask you this. Which fight are you looking forward to?
Clay Collard.
Wow. Wow.
Because he's the upset machine.
I know. I'm kind of looking forward to that too. I think that Tuesday fight. I'm looking forward to Jamel Herring and Jonathan Okendo. And I'll tell you why. Because I think Jamel Herring kind of fights to the level of his opposition. And I think that he's lax in some areas. And I think he's a guy who can be beat. I think he's a champ who can be beat. And I think he makes for exciting fights because of his shortcomings.
Well, any of these guys could be off their game because of the COVID,
he's just coming back from it, no?
Yeah, so the training camp's been disrupted.
Right.
You know, not being able to train the same way you trained normally. So anyone could be off their game, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, so that is what kind of makes it exciting a little bit. I mean, when you got a big fighter in there, you know, you got a title match here. It's, yeah.
There's only one guy that's been consistent throughout this whole ordeal.
You?
That's Clay Collard. That's
Clay Collard. Clay Collard, absolutely. Yeah, he's the upset machine, man. What are you going to do?
He's like the mailman. He can perform under any circumstances. Rain, sleet, or slow.
Rain, sleet, or slow?
rain, sleet, or snow.
Easy for you to say. Sneet, slow.
Rain, sleet, or slow. Or snow. Right at Publix.
That's right. All right. So our news and rumors this week, man. Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua are not going to fight yet, but they are appearing in the next UFC 4 Fight Night game for PS5 and Xbox One. The game comes out August 14th. They were all over this last night on the pay-per-view. They had, they kept announcing Anthony Joshua. They're going to be special playable characters if you order it at a certain time or you pre-order it or something like that. But yeah, it's kind of cool that they made it into the game. They didn't take Deontay Wilder, but hey, you know what? It's what it is. Ryan Garcia and Oscar De La Hoya added again this week. Dude, what is going on with Ryan Garcia here? And everybody that I talk to says that he is a giant baby. He's a diva. So speaking about Golden Boy this week, Garcia had this to say to The Athletic. Quote, if they don't think I'm the next world champ, if they don't think I'm the next big fighter in the world, prove it, let me go. So don't hold back, release me. If you don't think I'm the real deal, because you're insinuating that I'm not really the real deal, and I'm not on that level yet, release me and I'll prove it to you. Golden Boy has said that they had offered Ryan Garcia Mauricio Gesta or Hector Tanajara for July 24th, which, you know, is in a couple weeks. But he said no to both opponents, and he said, quote, knock out Mauricio Gesta, knock out Hector Tanajara in one or two rounds. He said, what is that going to do? Nobody cares. I'm looking out for myself. At the end of the day, boxing is a one-man sport. He was offered Luke Campbell. I don't know if that fight's going to happen. That's a real good fight. But really, why not take? I mean, why not fight? Listen, he's got 20 fights. It's not like another fight's going to hurt him. You know, and I know he wants big fights, but this is how you get to the big fights.
I don't know.
You're a Ryan Garcia fan?
It's hard to be a fan of his right now because he's just.
He's kind of being a baby, and I hate De La Hoya, but he's kind of being a baby, no?
I just don't like the oversensitive attitude this guy has. I mean, just go out there and fight the fights. I mean,
that's it. That's all you got to do.
What are the expectations? Like,
well, you know, and Mercedo Gesta and Tanajara, they're not like, I mean, they don't, and he's right, they don't pose a crazy, you know, crazy opposition to him. But they're stay busy fights, they're keep sharp fights. Those are the fights you need. They're going to give you a different look. You're going to get hit. You're going to, you know what I mean?
I just don't understand why he has to go to the media all the time to complain about his current situation.
Yeah, well, that's another one. When you complain out in public like that, that's not good either.
Why can't you just work this out with, you know, within? Why do you have to air out your dirty laundry? Why do you, like, why? What is the benefit of acting the way he's acting?
You know, it's Smitty in the chat said he's got to earn the money he wants. He hasn't accomplished much yet. And he's right. He hasn't. The thing about Garcia, though, is I'll tell you what he is. He's a good boxer. He's got some power. He's very fast. He's got some power. But he brings he brings an audience. He puts people in the stands.
Well,
you know?
He's got a good social media following.
Yeah.
But does he sell out arenas? I don't know.
Yeah, Dale from Chi-Town said, just go out and fight Ryan. And he's right. That's the thing. He's right. You know, Floyd Mayweather, the one thing people forget is when Floyd Mayweather fought Oscar De La Hoya, wasn't that like an 80-20 split or
something
like
that?
It was a ridiculous split.
Oh, yeah.
That Oscar got 80% and Floyd Mayweather got 20%. I mean, it was like an 80-20 split. I mean, it was ridiculously bad.
Oscar got like $50 million for that fight. Floyd got like $25 million.
I don't even know. Yeah, I mean – whatever it was awful. It was an awful split. It was nowhere near equitable, anything like that. But he took the fight, and he took the fight, and he won, and gambled on himself, and he won because he knew he could beat De La Hoya. He knew once he did, he became the new guy. And what happened? He became the new guy. That's what you have to do. That's what you got to do. So what are you going to do? Let's see here. Katie Taylor, your girl, B. is set to fight Delphine Pearson in a rematch expected to take place on August 22nd. Pearson was chosen after Amanda Serrano fell through. I'm perplexed on why the Amanda Serrano fight fell through.
She's going to be kicking herself if Pearson beats Katie Taylor, because I thought Pearson won the fight, the first fight.
And Pearson may just have her number. It may just be one of those things where that style just gives her problems.
Who did you think won the first fight?
I thought Pursuit won the first fight.
I thought Pursuit won too.
Yeah, I thought it was close, but I thought she won.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know, Amanda Serrano, who wants to get paid, wants to, you know, be a star, have these big fights, and she's not fighting the big fights.
Yeah, so I don't know the whole behind-the-scenes thing with the contract or whatever. I'm hearing Eddie's side of the story. I'm hearing her side of the story.
Yeah, I don't care what the contract is. It is what it is. Katie Taylor is a bigger star, like it or not. She's a bigger star than you. I don't care how many belts you got. The bottom line is she draws the money.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Amanda Serrano is very accomplished, though.
She is, but nobody knows her name.
No, you're right.
Nobody knows
Katie
who she is.
Katie Taylor's really, really carving out a niche for herself right now.
Who was the one cupcake we had on talking about the one who fought Clarissa Shields? What's her name? The girl you asked out?
Christina Hammer.
Yeah. All right, again, Clarissa Shields was the name. She was the draw in that fight. Like it or not,
yeah.
She was the bigger name.
But they had a pretty – I think they had like an even split for that fight, though.
They fought.
Yeah.
That's the point. They fought, you know.
They did.
Jeff Horn is set to take on Tim Zhu August 26th. Check this out, man. This is a good fight, and I'm actually looking forward to it, man. It'll take place in Australia, and it's expected to have a crowd of 16,000 people. 16,000.
Wow.
Now, there may have more if restrictions are lifted, but they're talking about putting 16,000 people. Australia's pretty much done with this, right?
From what I hear, they don't have too many cases.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. I mean, 16,000 people, I mean, this could get – this is where, you know, this is where I'm thinking, like, fights are going to happen places in the world, just like Abu Dhabi last night, and, you know, they're going to have different places. So, yeah, man. And Floyd Mayweather has teased a comeback again. You know, so rather than promote his own fighters like Tank Davis and everything like that, he chooses to, you know, promote Devin Haney, who's not really his fighter. So he chooses to focus on himself because he's good at that, you know. On social media, Floyd had said this: soon I'm going to hop on a jet to Tokyo for a meeting with my partners in Ryzen for something this year, 2020. Stay tuned. Ryzen is going to announce a big, or they have announced like a big thing. Floyd hasn't been a part of that. But, Steve, what are your thoughts on this? This is constant Floyd nonsense.
It's just attention seeking. That's all it is. I don't put much stock into it.
I don't either. But if he fought like another guy like Tension, would you watch it?
I'm a loser.
I am too. I would totally lie. I stayed up all night, literally all night that one night, waiting for him to fight.
Do you see how I say yes with no hesitation?
I'm such a groupie.
That's a sickness.
Sickness runs deep, man.
That's a legitimate sickness.
It really is.
That I would watch that.
I was setting my alarm because I was so tired I was falling asleep at 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, he put that whole card on ice. That was a live card. That card was like 3 or 4 hours late. There was nothing going on. People were still there waiting for that fight to happen. It was insane. I'll never forget that, man. And then when we did the show, like 7 o'clock in the morning.
That was hilarious.
I stayed up all night for a 30-second fight. You could have made a commercial out of it.
Everybody was talking so much shit about that fight, but when we did that show, that was like one of our highest-rated shows.
Highest-rated show, yep. One of them. Yeah.
Everyone was watching it.
Yeah, we weren't the only ones.
And then we kept saying it was fixed. And then, you know, it's not all these goofballs coming. No, it's not fixed.
It's not fixed.
Floyd's the greatest. He knocked him out with one punch.
Floyd, he's so good.
He knocked him out with one punch.
Tank could knock him out, too. I don't get it, man. I don't get it. They suck. What are you going to do? All right, guys, that is the news. And that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at JHabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. I'm at ringside73 on Twitter, and we will see you next week. Hang tight.